I want to talk to you tonight about living or dwelling in Goshen. Living or dwelling in Goshen. I read that to you here in Exodus chapter 8. The Lord says in verse 22, if I may read a portion of this again, the Lord says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell." Dwelling in Goshen. The children of Israel lived in Goshen in the nation of Egypt. Egypt represents the world. And of course, Israel represents the true people of God. That's not to say that all of national Israel were believers. Most of them were not. But they represent, they do portray the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ that he redeemed by his blood. They represent all of the children of God of all ages. We travel through this world. We're traveling through Egypt. Egypt represents the world. And the land of Goshen represents that city of God where the Lord dwells and therefore where his people dwell. Goshen represents that location where God took care of his children. And in that sense, wherever the people of God are, wherever you live in your house, in your location, and those who are watching this tonight, wherever you live, that is, for us, the land of Goshen. We're the true Israel of God. And the Lord says he will be in the land of Goshen. He is always with his children. The thing that the Israelites had to constantly be reminded of was that the Lord was with them. He had seen what was going on. The Lord heard their cries, and their cries to the Lord came from the work of the Spirit of God within their hearts, leading them to cry out to the Lord in their time of trouble, in their time of difficulty. And the Lord arranged for them to live in the land of Goshen. They didn't have to cross the Nile River to get there. You'll remember that they arrived in the land of Goshen because of a series of events that God himself put into motion, directing all things that happened. Joseph had been exalted, but only exalted after he had been humiliated, after he had been brought low. And of course, Joseph is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross of Calvary, in order to save his people from their sins. And having been obedient to the Lord, having stooped down so low as to suffer the pains of death, the pains of being forsaken by God, as a reward for his accomplishment of the work of redemption, God the Father exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. And Joseph pictures our Lord Jesus in that he was brought low and then he was exalted. And after he was exalted, he entertained his brothers. His brothers came to buy food. And we have worked through that story in the book of Genesis, so I won't rehearse that to you again. But Joseph revealed to them who he was. And Joseph said to them, "You're going to live in the greatest area of the nation of Egypt. You're going to live in the land of Goshen." Goshen. Go back with me to the book of Genesis. And go back to chapter 46. And let me tell you this. I read there to you from Exodus chapter 8. where the Lord made a difference, that says the Lord made a division. A division. The word division, and I probably should have kept you there in Exodus just a couple of minutes longer, if you want to hold your place in Genesis. Go back over to Exodus chapter 8. Let me just show you this one word. God said in verse 23 of chapter 8, "And I will put a division." If you did a little word study, and you can do a word study as easily as I can, you just get you a good concordance. Strong's concordance is a good one. Young's concordance or Cruden's concordance. And do a little word study, and you'll find that the root word for division is redeem. It's used well over 50 times. The root word is used over 50 times in the Old Testament. It is translated as redemption or redeem or ransom, as in the book of Job, where the Lord says, "Release him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." You see, the great difference between Israel and the Egyptians was redemption, which is a work that God would do on their behalf. He didn't redeem the Egyptians. He didn't redeem the Amorites. He didn't redeem the Moabites. Of all of the people of earth, and we'll see that as we get to the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn, we'll see it more fully. Of all the nations of the earth, God only provided and appointed the Passover lamb for Israel, for his people, because redemption is specific. It's not in general. It's a particular work that God did for his people. And so he says here, "I will put a division between my people and thy people." Our Lord Jesus Christ did not redeem the whole world. He redeemed his people. He paid the ransom that we owed to the justice of God. Now go back over with me to the book of Genesis now. And we've studied, of course, the book of Genesis quite thoroughly. But as we go back to, I jotted a verse down here I wanted to read to you. Here in chapter 45, Joseph reveals himself to his brethren. Chapter 45, verse 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither, for God did send me before to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, there are 5 years left. In the land there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance." And you can see the pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ here. They're very plentiful. They're abundant in setting forth our Redeemer, the Savior. God sent him to save his people by great deliverance. There's no greater deliverance than the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. So look at verse 8. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me." The word Goshen means drawing near. You see, here's what Joseph is saying to them. You're going to have the finest location in all of Egypt, And that which is going to make it especially wonderful, I'm drawing you near to me. And is that not a picture of effectual grace? The Lord draws us to himself. Our Savior said there in John chapter 6, he's talking about, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, do what? Draw him. Draw him. And he says, I'll raise him up at the last day. Joseph said, I'm going to make sure that you live and dwell and abide in the land of Goshen near me. And I'll tell you, all of the people of God, wherever we live, it is though we're in the land of Goshen because the Lord is there. And this is what ought to encourage all of the people of God. Whatever your situation, whatever your difficulty, whatever the pleasantness, whatever the sorrow, whatever the joy, whatever the distress, whatever the tribulation, whatever the cheerfulness, the Lord is with you. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. We all in that sense live in the land of Goshen because Christ has drawn us unto himself. And he says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. To the end of the age. You see, here's what the Lord did. He hid his church in the Old Testament in the land of Goshen. He hid his people there. And the words of Isaiah 27 and verse 3 are very appropriate. The Lord said, I, the Lord, do keep it. That is, I watch over that city every moment. Lest anybody hurt it, I will keep it night and day. And so the Lord keeps the city of Goshen. Oh, there were surrounding storms that fell upon the land of Goshen, but Israel wasn't harmed by the storms. The Lord turned the waters of the Egyptians into blood, but the Lord converts the water into the wine of the gospel. When the Lord sent the plague of flies, which filled all the houses of Egypt in the land of Goshen, there was none. It was like an invisible barrier. You couldn't touch it. You couldn't see it. You couldn't feel it. But there was a division. There's a redemption there. There's protection there that the Lord provided for his people that he didn't provide for the Egyptians. And I tell you, people of God, there is an invisible barrier all the way around you. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't smell it. Your physical eyes shall never behold it. But nevertheless, there is an invisible barrier around you because you are the children of God. And the Lord says to us, as Joseph said to Jacob and his brethren, you're going to live near me. Isn't that a sweet thought? The Lord says, you're going to live near me. And he visits us every day. And one of these days, he's just going to take us to his house. Spurgeon relates the story about, in the book of Genesis, where an Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Spurgeon says he imagined it, that Enoch and the Lord walked in fellowship every day. And then Enoch would say, it's getting late in the day and I must go home. And Mr. Spurgeon said, he said, I just imagine it this way. He says, one day Enoch walked with the Lord, and Enoch said, I must go home. And the Lord said, it's closer to my home than it is yours. Just come on home with me. And that's what's going to happen to us one of these days. He dwells with us here. He really dwells with us. It's not fiction. It's not a fable. It's real. And one of these days, the Lord's going to say, it's time for you to leave the land of Goshen down there and come to my home in heaven above. In all the trials of life, the Lord is with his children. And he will never, ever leave us. So understand this. The difference between Israel and Egypt was a difference God made. And in this matter of redemption, in this matter of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, being made the righteousness of God through the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is all the work of God. You think about Jacob and his sons. Joseph, of course, is in Egypt already. But you think about Jacob and his family. They're in the land of Canaan. This placement of them in the land of Goshen, what did they have to do with that? Was this their work? Was this their idea? Was this their solution to the difficulty of the famine? No. It's Joseph. It's Joseph who comes to the rescue. Joseph, a picture of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw us in our dilemma and he came to our rescue. It wasn't that we went to him, he came to us. It wasn't that we sought him, he sought us. It wasn't that we were drawn, we drew ourselves to him, but rather he drew us to himself just like Joseph. He said, you're going to live near me. I'm drawing you near unto me. Are you close to the Lord? Well, if you're a believer, you are. Well, how close is he? Closer than your breath. Nearer, so nearer I cannot be. For in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm as near to God as he. Now you think about that. I'm as near to God as he. So the difference between Israel and Egypt was a difference God made. And the same is true with the Israel of God, that is, the elect of God in Christ Jesus. They were a chosen people, so are we. They were chosen to physical blessings, we were chosen to spiritual blessings. They were a covenant people. God made a covenant with Abraham. We're a covenant people. God made a covenant within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. The Father choosing, the Son redeeming, the Spirit of God calling and quickening and revealing and guiding and teaching and instructing us in all the things of Christ Jesus. They were a redeemed people. Redeemed out of Egyptian bondage by the blood of the Passover lamb. Saved. Saved from death. You who are the Lord's people, you are a saved people. Delivered, delivered. The judgment of God will never come to you. You say, well, I get sick sometimes. That's not judgment. That's not penal suffering. All the penalty for our sins has been suffered in our blessed substitute. He's the one who endured the agonies of the wrath of God. The fullness of the wrath of God was felt in his holy soul. And because he bore our judgment, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And when you get sick, that's not the judgment of God. God has no judgment for his people. God has no punishment for his people. You say, well, the Lord does chastise his people. That's not punishment. That's not punishment for our sins. That's the Lord teaching us. That's the Lord instructing us. And we're not prepared. We can't say every sickness is, that's chastisement. I don't know that. I don't know the mind of God in sending things to us. I know that everything he sends to us is good for us and instructive for us. These were a blessed people. They can't be cursed. You remember King, what was his name? Balak of the Moabites? He saw the devastation of one of the enemies of Israel, the Amorites, and he feared that his nation would suffer the same fate. So he hired a false preacher. They're always for sale. They're always for sale. He hired Balaam because he believed Balaam had power to pronounce a curse upon people. So he hired him. He said, I want you to curse Israel. But he couldn't do it. God wouldn't let him do it. In fact, Numbers chapter 22, verse 18, Balaam said, if Balak would offer me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. I cannot curse those whom God has blessed. There can be no cursing of the people of God, because our Lord Jesus was made a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says that. And they were a people who were called out of cruel bondage, not by their power, but by the power of the Lord. Oh, there's a whole lot of them. In Egypt, in the land of Goshen. But they had no ability to liberate themselves. That's got to be of God. Here's what I'm trying to impress upon you. They were different. And we're different. We're different. Now at first, there doesn't appear to be any difference between the people of God and those who will never believe the gospel. And there is no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the difference will eventually be made known. It will be made known that this group over here is a redeemed people. God made a division. God saved them. God made them righteous. God put away their sins. They just don't know about it yet. But they'll be informed in conversion. How did the Jews wind up in Goshen in the first place? Because that's where God put them. And the reason you're in the family of God, make no mistake about it, got nothing to do with your decision. It's got nothing to do with your faith. It's got nothing to do with your repentance. The reason you're in the family of God is because he put you in the family of God. You are predestinated to be adopted into his family. Why are they in Goshen? To be close to Joseph. Why are we in the family of God? Why are we in Goshen? Be close to Christ. He drew us in. Did you know that the city of... turn to Exodus chapter 1. Did you know that the city in which they lived, or the territory in which they lived, Goshen, had a treasure city in it that the Israelites had to build? Look at Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11. Therefore they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Now watch this. treasure cities, Pithom, and Ramses. Now back up to Genesis 47 in verse 11. 47:11. Now we know these people are going to be living in Goshen. So it says in verse 11, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. That's where they're going to live. And it's called a treasure city over here in Exodus chapter 1. They're in a treasure city. And you know what the treasure is? You know what the treasure is? It's a treasure city. Ramesses is a treasure city. If the treasure is our Lord Himself in the midst of the city, there's the treasure. Now I know we're called the jewels of the Lord. We're His precious treasure. But the gospel of Christ Jesus is said to be that treasure that's hidden. The fact that the Lord was with them, that made it a treasure city. Oh, people of God, we live, we dwell in a treasure city. Because you see, the Lord is with us. That's what makes it a treasure. To you who believe, therefore, He is what? Precious. And God called Him elect and precious to Him. Our Lord Jesus is the treasure of the city of Goshen, Ramesses. And I'll tell you this, Goshen was regarded by most Egyptians as scarcely worthy to be called a part of Egypt. Turn back to Genesis 46. Look at Genesis 46:34. Verse 33 says, it shall come to pass, Joseph talked to his brethren, Pharaoh, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, this is chapter 46, verse 33, what is your occupation that ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Goshen was regarded, even though it was a very fertile land, watered by an arm of the Nile River. There was a kind of an offshoot of the Nile River that ran through Goshen. It was very fertile land. It was wonderful pasture, wonderful pasture. But the Egyptians, they didn't think too much of it because that's where the sheep and that's where the cattle were. In fact, you can read down further and look in chapter 47. Look at verse 5. I'll just read this to you. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. That's where they're going to live. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle, because that's where I got my cows over there. I've got my cattle. I've got my flocks. I've got my animals grazing in the pastures of Goshen. Even though the Egyptians despise the shepherd. And I'll tell you, the world despises, number one, the shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, they despise the under-shepherds of the great shepherd. That is, those who preach the gospel. They have no time for them. They have no patience with them, and they don't want to hear what they have to say. And I'll say this, two more things. Goshen was near the border, wasn't far from the border of Palestine. They were ever so close to the land of promise. And you and I, who dwell in the land of Goshen, we're never very far from our true homeland. And before long, we'll all be there. It's just a breath away. And we'll go home. And then let me give you this in the last place. Go back to Exodus 8. Goshen was the land where divine judgment did not fall. Chapter 8, verse 22, I shall read again, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And then chapter 9 and verse 26. This is concerning the hail and fire mingled with the hail. Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. There's no judgment to the people of God. Judgment can't come to us. It's like the Lord, like a mighty hunter, had a quiver full of arrows. And he put one arrow after another in his bow and shot it into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ until there were no arrows left. There's no arrow for you. There's no judgment for you. There's no condemnation for you. And so we read, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There are no charges against us because all charges have been paid. All the penalty for sin has been endured. There is therefore now no condemnation, no penalty, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Say, where do we live? We live in Goshen. We live in Goshen. Don't forget that. We're near to the Savior because He has drawn us to Himself. Isn't this a sweet gospel? What Joseph did for his brethren, Christ has done that and infinitely more for all of His family. And there's an invisible barrier around us. Nothing can harm you. Don't worry about it. What about this, that, or something else? Can't harm your soul. It's all right. It's all right. We're in the land of Goshen. We dwell in Goshen. Let's sing a closing song.